Hello, listeners. This is David Blakesley, and I am welcoming you to this little season preview episode of the Criterion Reflections podcast. I'm getting ready to talk about the Criterion Collection related films of 1971 as we get into our third go-round here, taking a look at films from a very unique, important, and memorable year in cinema. We've been at this for a couple years now, started in 2017 as I turned my long-standing blogging project, covering all the films of the Criterion Collection in chronological order, turned it into a podcast, and I'm going to continue doing so for as long as I can. And I'm very thankful that I've got a whole bunch of people who like to get together with me and record conversations over Skype, which I then edit down and release for your listening pleasure. So here we are on the brink of 1971. This was a great year in filmmaking. Very pivotal, very interesting times that were kind of convulsing the movie industry, especially here in the good old USA. Of course, you think of 1971, that is the peak of New Hollywood era. Easy Rider in 1969 and maybe a couple other predecessors before that. Bonnie and Clyde, and you know, you can throw a few other titles out there. Really opened up some new territory for the studio system to explore as the system itself was kind of breaking down. The old formulas were not drawing the revenues or the interest that the studios really were used to and really needed to survive. And so there was even a whiff of desperation in the air as they threw money and granted artistic creative freedom to a lot of young directors who hadn't necessarily been tried and tested, but they had the right attitude or the connections, or at least there was a hope that they did, that they would make movies that would connect with young people the same way that a film like Easy Rider did, a film made for an extremely low budget, which yielded incredible returns on the investment, really set a template that studios were eager to try to capitalize on as the years went by. So the 1971 slate that we have in front of us is pretty heavily tilted in that direction. The first film we're going to talk about as far as New Hollywood American-style independent films are concerned is Wanda. It's not going to be released by the Criterion Collection until March, so it's a few episodes away, to say the least, but it was actually technically a 1970 film. It won a prize at the Venice Film Festival in the fall of 1970, but didn't get its American release until the spring of, or maybe late winter of 1971. And so even though it's technically not in chronological order, because I try to go by the earliest date I can find when I line up these films, I'm going to squeeze it in there anyway. This is my podcast and my rules, and I definitely want to talk about Wanda, which was written and directed by and starring Barbara Loden, who was an interesting and important supporting actor in her times in the 1960s. But really had a pretty interesting career and life, certainly with some tragic elements to it as well. So that'll be coming up in a couple months. Let's talk about 1971 as far as kind of what first comes to mind. I think about, like I say, the indie New Hollywood cinema, and what better collection to draw from than the BBS set, America Lost and Found, the BBS story. This is a pretty epic release from Criterion back in the earlier part of this decade. And we're going to be covering three films from that very monumental set. I think it released six titles altogether, maybe even seven. I have to count them up. But here's the three that we're going to be talking about from 1971. The first will be Drive, He Said. This was directed by Jack Nicholson, kind of a protest comedy. Supposedly a pretty anarchic, wild affair. I have not seen it yet, but should be interesting to see what Jack put on the screen from behind the camera. A Safe Place, in which Jack Nicholson plays an important role. This is directed by a guy named Henry Jaglom. It also features performances by Tuesday Weld and Orson Welles. I have seen that one. That's a pretty weird, wild, woolly, kind of somewhat bizarre type of film. Not everybody likes it. In fact, I've probably read more negative stuff about it than positive, but I was intrigued and will definitely enjoy checking it out once again. And then one of the undisputed masterpieces from the box, The Last Picture Show, Peter Bogdanovich's portrait of small town despair and decay in Texas set in the early 1950s, with really memorable performances by Timothy Bottoms, Jeff Bridges, Sybil Shepherd. It's a pretty excellent film, probably one of the highlights of the season coming up ahead. Some other stuff coming out of the new Hollywood here, there was Clute. Alan J. Pakula was the director here. This has not actually been officially announced as a Criterion release, but it was pretty clearly hinted at in the New Year's wacky drawing. So I hope it will be released and announced in time for us to get it into its queue. But even if it doesn't line up exactly right, I think I'll find a way to squeeze it into the lineup whenever it becomes available as an official Criterion release. Jane Fonda won an Oscar for that performance, and it's a film I'm not sure I ever did see it, actually. I think I've probably seen bits of it, but definitely will be a very welcome addition to the collection. McCabe and Mrs. Miller. This was released several years ago. Robert Altman film starring Warren Beatty and Julie Christie. Kind of a grimy, grungy take on the Western genre. Another really great and important film from 1971. There are a couple of laser discs that Criterion released back in the day that we're going to be including in our queue. The rule here is that if Criterion ever released it, it's up for grabs as far as discussion is concerned on my podcast. So the first is Carnal Knowledge. This was also a Filmstruck release last year for a limited run. Mike Nichols directed this, kind of a follow-up to The Graduate, starring Jack Nicholson yet again, along with Art Garfunkel, Anne Margaret, Rita Moreno, Carol Kane, Candace Bergen also. Really incredible cast, also written by Jules Pfeiffer, who may not be such a big name nowadays, but he was kind of a thing, kind of an interesting social satirist and commentator. You know, smart guy and also pretty funny sense of humor. The other laser disc that we're going to be talking about is Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. No longer a Criterion property. Vinegar Syndrome put that out on Blu-ray last year, and I've got a copy of that. I don't have the laser disc, but we'll be talking about that. This is a Melvin Van Peebles film, kind of a forerunner or kind of a gateway opener to the blaxploitation genre. In 1971, also, the film Shaft was released. It is not a Criterion title. It's not currently in the lineup, but I kind of wish it was. Maybe I'll have to look that one up and watch it, just as kind of a background material for Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, which I'm sure will be a pretty fascinating discussion as we think about that film and what it has to say to us today. And then a few more indie titles from the kind of American scene. Monty Hellman's Two-Lane Blacktop, kind of a minimalist road trip epic, starring James Taylor and Dennis Wilson. And, of course, Warren Oates. Pretty memorable contributions from Mr. Oates in that one. Sam Peckinpah's Straw Dogs, Ultraviolent, Dustin Hoffman, pretty grim, gritty tale, and we'll have to pick that one apart. Hal Ashby's Harold and Maude, that actually won't be coming up until towards the very end of the season, as that was released in December 1971. And then Roman Polanski's Macbeth. He's kind of a transitional, I guess. This was somewhat of an American film. Polanski had certainly settled in the United States and was considered kind of a, you know, not exactly a Hollywood director, but was making studio-backed pictures. Macbeth, of course, was the film he made in the immediate aftermath of the tragic murder of his wife and just that whole nightmare situation that he lived through himself. Macbeth was also a joint American and British co-production, which kind of helps us transition away from the American scene into other films from the English-speaking parts of the world. So let's talk about a few other titles that are in the list here. Nicholas Rogue's Walkabout, set in Australia, but Rogue was a British director. Sunday Bloody Sunday, John Schlesinger's interesting look at kind of a love triangle in England. Ken Russell's The Devils, an adaptation of a short book by Aldous Huxley, became much more notorious as a film than it ever was as a publication. That was released on the Criterion Channel on Filmstruck very briefly in 2018, so that qualifies this film as a Criterion Collection release, whether or not it ever bears the CC logo in physical media. We'll still find a way to talk about it. And then a film I don't know a whole lot about, but it's Mon Oncle Antoine. This is a Canadian film by Claude Joutre. It's a DVD-only title. Not one I hear talked about a whole lot, but we'll check it out and let you know what we think. But with that Canadian film kind of finishing up our English language lineup here, it kind of helps us transition over to what was happening in Europe in the European art house scene. We have a pretty incredible list of directors represented in the season ahead. Our first one, after our season debut, a second episode of the season, will be Pierre Etex's Land of Milk and Honey, which is a very different type of movie for anybody who's seen his earlier stuff. Land of Milk and Honey goes off in a very different direction, kind of a scathing social satire documentary. There's certainly some common perspectives in Etex's comedic, straightforward, humorous stuff, but what he's best known for. But Land of Milk and Honey should be a fascinating conversation. Luchino Visconti's Death in Venice. This will be released next month in February of 2019, and that'll be up early in our queue as well. I think that's scheduled to be the third episode of the season. So that'll be kind of fun to talk about a new release Criterion movie. Just at the time that it's scheduled to hit the shelves in the latter half of February. John Troyle's The Immigrants. This is a first part of a two-film installment starring Max von Sydow and Liv Ullmann, of course best known for their work with Ingmar Bergman. But this is part one of a two-part saga. It's a long film. It's 3 hours all on its own, about a couple emigrating from Sweden to the United States back in the 19th century. A really gorgeous, evocative masterpiece of filmmaking. Really tremendous work. I'm really looking forward to revisiting that one. Jacques Tati's Trafic. This is late Tati, perhaps in a little bit of his decline. He certainly never reached the heights of playtime. I think that's a pretty common consensus view. And this is a film that's got its detractors as well as proponents. We'll take a look at Trafic and see what we think about post-playtime Jacques Tati. Roberto Rossellini was doing his own thing, making history-based films. And, of course, a lot of those are covered in the Eclipse series sets, kind of Enlightenment-based character studies of men like Blaise Pascal, the Medicis, and philosopher René Descartes. This is a film called Socrates. This is kind of an outlier there. You couldn't really lump it in with Eclipse series set the same way, but this is about, of course, the ancient Greek philosopher Socrates. Again, this was only available on Filmstruck or earlier than that on the Criterion Channel on Hulu Plus. I'm hoping that this will be available on the new Criterion Channel streaming service that the collection has promised us to be launched sometime in the spring of this year. Pier Paolo Pasolini's The Decameron will get us into his vaunted trilogy of life. This will be the first of that trilogy, and we'll be talking about the other films in upcoming seasons. Louis Malle's Murmur of the Heart, a pretty controversial film as far as its subject matter is concerned. I have not seen it. I've heard a bit about it, and very much looking forward to seeing where Louis Malle takes us in this particular expression of his. two films by Rainer Werner Fassbinder. Of course, every season seems to have at least two, if not three, appearances by Fassbinder. This one will have Beware of a Holy Whore from the Eclipse set and The Merchant of Four Seasons, which was a standalone Blu-ray release from a couple years ago. Two really fantastic films from a very rambunctious and prolific filmmaker. Dusan Makaviev just passed away just a few days ago. And his probably best-known film, W.R. Mysteries of the Organism, pretty explosive, taboo-shattering film that basically got him in lots of trouble with the authorities in his native Yugoslavia, as it was known at the time. We'll be getting into that. And then another streaming-only option from François Truffaut, Two English Girls. Criterion's had the rights to that, but they've put it on disc, but is a Criterion-affiliated title, so we will get Truffaut in the mix as well. Oh, one more that I forgot to mention here, see, I skipped it on my list, was Ingmar Bergman's The Touch, a kind of a bilingual film. There are English-speaking portions, and there are Swedish portions, as Bergman was kind of making a little bit of an entry into the American marketplace. He got Elliot Gould in the mix here, and this is a film that is not widely admired. I have not seen it yet. Of course, it was released back in November in the huge Bergman box set, and I'll be totally fascinated to get into this new discovery of the master's work. And then a little bit of Asian cinema, not too much, but we will be starting off the season with a fun, enjoyable, familiar territory as we discuss Zatoichi Meets the One-Armed Swordsman. That will be getting recorded next weekend, and hopefully we'll be up and about very soon after that. Really always love enjoying the Zatoichi series, and this one has some interesting unique components to it as we're getting late in the franchise. This is the 22nd of 25 films in that mammoth box set, and this is one that I think stands out on its own terms, and definitely looking forward to launching the season outright with a conversation about that film. Of course, it wouldn't be Criterion Reflections without a Nagise Oshima film somewhere in the mix, and this year we're going to talk about The Ceremony, and we've got a couple diehard Oshima fans on our crew here that I'm sure will be able and ready to join me when the time comes to get into that work of his. We're going to get into a Chinese film, King Hu's A Touch of Zen, kind of taking a deeper look into the wuxia genre. There's a little bit of a wuxia overlap with the Zatoichi film I just talked about here, but A Touch of Zen is the real thing, and I'm looking forward to that one quite a bit. And then Masahiro Shinoda's Silence. This is the last film I'm going to call out by name here. Kind of well-known, remade in a sense by Martin Scorsese several years ago. Kind of a long-time passion project of his that he'd been pursuing. Shinoda's is the Japanese version of that story and should be a great conversation as well. So that's our lineup. Not in that order, but I kind of grouped them together just to make it a little easier to digest my thoughts and give you all a sense of where we're going to be going with this conversation. Of course, the season always winds up with a kind of a compendium of short films released that year, and we're going to have the usual, some Hollis Frampton, some Stan Brakhage. I don't think we got any David Lynch this time, but there's a few other odds and ends that we'll throw in there, Carol Ballard, and a few other things. So if you want to know more about what we're going to be discussing, there is a link on my Facebook page, Criterion Reflections, the group. You can just click on that and maybe even sign up and join me for an episode or two. I have openings. In fact, some of the newer releases like Death in Venice, Wanda, and Clute have not yet gotten any guests lined up. So if you want to get in, there's a possibility. We'll talk to you later then. Thanks for listening in.